The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello there, and welcome to All Things Therapy. I am Lisa Tahir, your host. Today is episode number 270, and thank you so much for taking your time to listen or watch on live stream video. I really appreciate you for that, and I appreciate the podcast reviews that I have been seeing coming through on iTunes and other platforms. Thank you. And I invite you, if you have not left a written review, to please log on to wherever you hear or watch this show and do that. iTunes is one of the bigger platforms that I know their metric specifically involves podcast reviews, the ones that you actually type in beyond the five stars that I hope to have from you. It helps get this show in front of more listeners. And I ask you to do that. If you haven't, I have been going through and leaving podcast reviews on all the shows that I like. I have reviewed over 50 podcasts in the last couple of months because I know how important it is for their listenership. I ask you to do that for me as well. And if you are looking to work with a therapist, with a healing practitioner, I am taking new clients. You can learn more about what I offer through my website, which is nolatherapy.com, NOLATHERAPY.com. An easy way to remember that is it stands for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy.com, reflecting the two places that I live. I am in Los Angeles with you this week, where I have been for a while this summer, taking some time away from New Orleans, where I was for the first half of the year and enjoying this California sunshine. So at NOLA Therapy, you can find links to the book that I offer having to do with healing through empathy and self-forgiveness, an online mindset class incorporating psycho-spiritual techniques like using a pendulum, how you can use crystals in your home and office to amplify desired energies, be it of love, of peace, of insight, of wealth. And it's 3 to 7 minute videos, 20 specific tips and tricks and practices, books that I use in my own life that I offer to you, all at nolatherapy.com, as well as on social media. Follow me, Nola Therapy, on YouTube, on Instagram, and on Facebook. And I have some offers for you from my sponsors. Amazon Music sponsors this podcast. As my listener, they will offer you a month of free music to download. They have over 70 million songs. Check that out by going to getamazonmusic.com/ATT for All Things Therapy. Audible Audiobooks supports this podcast, and they will give you a free audiobook download and 30-day trial subscription to try them out if you're not already a member. I love audiobooks and Audible especially. So that offer you can take through audibletrial.com/allthingstherapy. And if you like what you've been hearing and seeing on my podcast, I invite you to become a patron through patreon.com. It's a platform for artists, podcasters, creatives. I bet that most of the podcasts you like are on Patreon, and you can help support us with as little as a dollar per month and receive cool things in exchange. My Patreon is found at patreon.com/allthingstherapy. Okay, my guest today, moving into that part of the show, the main attraction is Toby Passman. He is a neurophysiology researcher who specializes in applying neuroscience of the brain and how it functions in concert with our thoughts, with our emotions, and our overall health to enable peak performance, which you hear a lot about nowadays, peak performance, peak experiences. We're going to talk to Toby more about how to amplify that in our lives through our brain. And Toby works with professional athletes, Hollywood actors, with CEOs in the business and fitness industries to maximize their brain performance, utilizing electroencephalography, using brain maps and neurofeedback. He's the host of Roscoe's Wetsuit Podcast, a great podcast about neuroscience and guests that really are about healing in different ways. I was his guest, and I welcome you today, Toby, to being with us.
Lisa, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a while since I had you back on my show, but I'm really happy to be on yours.
I am. And will you help me with the word that I just butchered? I apologize. Electroencephalography, is that correct?
Electroencephalography.
Thank you.
Hey, what is that? You know what? It's a mouthful, and that's the reason that most people just call it an EEG. Because, yeah, there's not too many people that can pronounce that right. So,
okay.
What that is basically a test that is able to record the electrical data that emanates from a person's brain up to their scalp, and then we're able to record that that electrical activity with an EEG cap, which for people who may not have seen one, it's kind of like a swim cap looking thing.
Thank you. Yeah,
has a bunch of electrodes on it. Yeah, yeah. Yes, so that's one of the primary.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. Finish, please. Sure.
No, I was just going to say that's one of the primary technologies that I work with.
How did you get interested in the brain and how it works at this level?
I was always a very curious kid in terms of like I would always question, you know, why I am the way that I am, why I'm thinking the certain thoughts that I'm thinking. I don't know. I was always just thinking about thinking. And
I think that
curiosity led to, you know, reading some pop psychology and neuroscience books in high school. But it wasn't really until, like, while I was in college, I came into college as a business major, but I quickly became pretty disillusioned with those hour and 50 minute business lectures and was trying to explore and see what else piqued my interest. And what I came across was this biopsychology class that really blew my mind. So biopsychology, basically learning how the brain works on an electrical and chemical level, kind of understanding the biological basis of behavior. So from that class, I then joined an EEG lab, a research lab, where I became a research assistant and started learning how to collect and artifact the actual brain data that we were collecting in as part of the research experiments.
That is so cool. And I'm really excited to talk to you because I love studying quantum physics. And with the brain, I use tuning forks, alpha, beta, and theta tuning forks in particular to help with brain waves, like just tuning myself as I meditate. And yet I don't have the science background that you have. So you offer so much to us, to our listeners today. And I'm just curious, where would you like to start amongst all the topics having to do with the brain and its, you know, what's really most important for you today?
Well, I think honestly, what you just said is a great sort of a jumping off point, which is talking about the different brain waves.
Okay,
so
cool.
Kind of doing like a brain waves 101, you know, for people listening, I'd say, you know, so what's important to understand is that the brain runs both on electricity along with chemicals, and it's the chemicals get a lot more of the attention. You know, most people have heard of dopamine,
yes,
serotonin, norepinephrine, right? The popular neurotransmitters. that get a lot of popular attention. But what's often more neglected is the electrical side of things. But the brain does indeed run on electricity, and the way that these different electrical rhythms are divvied up is based on their frequency. So the slowest of the frequency brain waves that we have is delta, which we usually see in very deep restorative sleep. Often also delta can pop up when we see a lot of waking delta that can be indicative of a traumatic brain injury.
Okay.
So it can kind of indicate an area is sort of offline. And then theta is a bit faster. Theta is kind of, some say it's sort of the bridge between the conscious and unconscious. It's sort of a twilight sort of dreamy state where people who are meditators, who are like in a deep meditative state, have familiarity with that theta state. Moving on to alpha. Alpha's sort of been described as like an idling rhythm of the brain. It's kind of, you know, if you think of just kind of gazing out the window, just you're not thinking about anything in particular, you're just kind of mind wandering. That's kind of an alpha state. Alpha is also super important for like creativity, flow states that have been getting a lot of popular press attention. Yeah. And then the fastest of the brain waves that I usually talk about is one called beta. And beta is really important for like cognitive processing, thinking about different things, long-term planning, decision-making. And one of the things about beta, though, is when we see overactivity with people producing too much beta activity, that's usually very indicative of them being stuck in that kind of chronic, you know, stress, fight or flight sort of situation.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, whereas their nervous system is kind of just hyper aroused.
Like in post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the conditions where often we see an excess of beta activity.
Okay, I was just taking notes because I find this so fascinating and so important. How can we use these principles of the brain running on electricity in our lives to enhance things that you work with people to enhance?
Yeah, so there's all sorts of different technologies and therapies, I guess you could say, that modulate the different brain waves. With the work that I do, I would say so basically what I do in terms of actually doing what's called a brain map, QEEG brain map. So that what that stands for is a quantified EEG.
Okay.
And so that basically is where we put that cap on people and we record the electrical activity coming from their brain. For we do 10 minutes with their eyes open, and then we do another 10-minute recording with their eyes closed. Mm. And that gives us enough data to then work with and then put together. We're able to kind of generate these maps of the data. So they come in kind of looking like just these squiggly raw, you know, the raw data is just these squiggly waveforms that might not mean a ton to someone, but with the computer is able to basically transform that data into these two-dimensional maps of a person's brain, these heat maps. So we're then able to visualize if a person's producing excessive amounts of a certain brainwave, it'll show up in the warmer colors. If they're producing too little of a certain brainwave deficiencies, it'll show up in the lighter colors. Mm-hmm. So, and then we're also able to see where that deficiency or hyperactivity is coming from. So then we can use different tools like neurofeedback or neurostimulation to help regulate the electrical activity of the brain.
Very interesting. And you're offering this to people now, aren't you?
Yes. People in the Miami and Fort Lauderdale area. Yeah. Actually beginning in about a month, I will be there offering those services. And yeah, it's basically taking these technologies that have been really commonly found in research labs or, you know, clinicians, you know, psychiatrists or neurologists who are using them and often with great, you know, efficacy. But what I think is very unique about what I'm doing is that I'm taking these technologies into more of a peak performance or wellness setting.
Yes.
So, you know, in the same way that you know, people go to the gym to work out, even if there's not anything seriously wrong with their body, you know, why not take that same approach with the brain for the way people mostly think about kind of cognitive brain related health issues? It's like, you know, we don't do anything. We're not really proactive until there becomes a problem. And then we go, you know, see the psychiatrist if something gets to be really bad. But with these different technologies, we can actually work to actually boost an already pretty well functioning brain to even higher levels of performance. So I'm super excited to be bringing these services to people in the South Florida area.
I am too. And I know, Toby, in your work, you talk about neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to remodel itself. And for me, I use meditation as a tool in my life daily to, just like your analogy, you just said going to the gym to exercise the muscles of my mind and to enhance them. Can you talk to us about neuroplasticity, about how the brain even communicates with itself to make this something, you know, how we can daily incorporate some practices in our lives to enhance our brain health?
Yeah. Yeah. So neuroplasticity really is the foundational principle that enables all of the work that I do to happen. If there wasn't neuroplasticity, there'd be no point of really any psychotherapy or any neuromodulation or anything, because you'd be stuck with the brain that you have. But because of this principle of neuroplasticity, researchers have found that actually people throughout their entire lives, your brain is constantly changing, growing new connections, new neurons, new brain cells, new connections amongst those cells are forming. And this is something that's actually pretty new in terms of neuroscientists. Up until a few decades ago, used to think that, you know, once you reached, you know, kind of adulthood, that your brain just started deteriorating. And as you got older, your brain cells just kind of started dying off. Mm-hmm. Or if you did drugs or, you know, drank a lot of alcohol, that brain cells would just start dying off. And that is true. Brain cells do die. But what researchers have since found in the past couple of decades is this process where new neurons are actually forming. And that's a process known as neurogenesis. And to answer your question there, as far as what we can do to sort of increase this process, these neuroplastic processes, or increase neurogenesis, there's a key signaling factor that's called BDNF. It stands for brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Okay. And this is a protein that basically drives neurogenesis. It drives the creation of new brain cells. And there's lots of different things that can increase BDNF levels, some of which come from the diet, such as drinking coffee, eating like chocolate, blueberries.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I believe cacao. And then in terms of our lifestyle, we have like exercise. There's like sprinting has been shown to really dramatically increase BDNF levels, along with like high intensity interval training is another one. And then in terms of the work that I do, neurostimulation has been shown in studies to increase neuroplasticity and BDNF, amongst a lot of other things that it does. But yeah, basically, you know, I just interviewed a psychiatrist on my show, Dr. Brant Courtwright, who wrote a whole book called The Neurogenesis Diet and Lifestyle. And basically talking about how it's like higher rates of neurogenesis. The higher your rate of neurogenesis, the less depression, the less anxiety, you know, the better overall mental health and well-being that you have. So the more things that you can do to increase neurogenesis, the better, and the more things that you can eliminate that decrease it, such as, you know, sugar is a big one, alcohol. Those are two big ones that really decrease neurogenesis. So yeah, I think that's so important for people to understand that.
And I think so too, for people to know there are things that we can do. Can you speak to the role of meditation as far as our brain health and helping with neurogenesis and neuroplasticity?
Yeah. So meditation does a lot of good things for the brain. One of which it strengthens the connections between the left and right hemisphere of the brain. It actually strengthens this bundle of fibers that runs down the midline of the brain called the corpus callosum. So this is a band of fibers that connects the left and right hemispheres. And the better those two hemispheres of the brain communicate with each other, the better our brain works overall. And meditation has been shown to increase the density of those fibers. So that's one way. In terms of, you know, on an electrical side of things, you know, we're normally producing a lot of, you know, beta brain waves. That's kind of our day-to-day, just our waking, you know, thinking, right. You know, we're just kind of going about our business, kind of monkey mind, right? Mm-hmm. But when we meditate, we start sinking into slower states of consciousness. So we start sinking into alpha. If people have been meditating a while or are in a really deep state of meditation, they could even reach theta. Super advanced meditators can even reach a delta state, which is normally, as I was saying before, only seen in unconscious sleep. But when you slow down the brain, a lot of good things happen. Mm-hmm. That enables a lot of the restorative processes to occur, a lot of cellular regeneration that isn't able to take place when the brain's, you know, kind of go, go, go all the time. It's detrimental, you know, to our health to be in that kind of chronic fight or flight state. And meditation, I think, is a great tool to help us really activate the parasympathetic nervous system, that the rest and digest response, as it's been described, to really, you know, boost our ability to be able to stay relaxed.
You know, I like what you're saying, Toby, when you mentioned the monkey mind, and I think of that as our thinking mind that's on during our waking hours almost constantly, and the potential through meditation to access, like you said, those slower brainwave states, and then even suggest to bypass the thinking mind into the subconscious and start to even work at that level of creation. Of, you know, suggesting, I know sometimes like binaural beats paired with meditation and even suggesting things that we want to have in our lives. Like, is that any part of your work as you're working with, you know, peak performance to tap into suggestive type things, for lack of a better term?
Yeah. I mean, binaural beats, I'm certainly aware of. I've tried them out myself, and I certainly have read about the science behind them. I'm definitely a fan. I haven't actually, it's not exactly incorporated into the work I do. Well, I guess something similar with a technology that I use called audio visual entrainment.
Okay,
so
what's that?
With that technology, we're basically pulsing a specific frequency of both light into the eyes. You know, people wear these glasses, so you're getting kind of a strobe light, and then you're getting tones that are being pulsed into each ear. Now, I think that technology is something, it's a similar thing as binaural beats. It's not identical, but what all of these things have in common is that, you know, through these different mechanisms, we're able to entrain the brain to a certain rhythm. So for instance, you know, how fast that light is flickering can entrain the brain to a certain rhythm. So an alpha rhythm is 10 cycles per second. So if we flash that light 10 flashes in a second, that can then entrain the brain to an alpha rhythm. And same idea with the ears, with playing tones into the ears. So you can entrain the brain, you know, auditorily, you know, visually, We can also do it through, you know, neurostimulation, directly stimulating the electrical activity of the brain. But they're all different mechanisms that are basically working to have the same effect.
You know, and I think it's so great that what you're offering people starting in, is it October?
In November.
In November, in the Miami area, with neurofeedback and neuromodulation, with, like, I wish this was something everywhere that we could all walk in and make an appointment and tune our brains. Is that something you would like to see, that that kind of you're about in starting what you're doing in Southern Florida?
Yeah. I mean, the goal is definitely to expand and hopefully set up neuro labs all over the place. You know, I think, you know, there's already, you know, a few other companies that I'm aware of who are doing something similar, but for the most part, you know, it is a pretty untapped space so far. It's really the use of these technologies in that sort of peak performance setting is still in its infancy. So, you know, for most people listening, if they wanted to, say, do, you know, neurofeedback or to try neurostimulation, which is even a bit rarer to find, you know, there might be one or two people in, you know, if they live in a major metropolitan area, you know, there might be a couple practitioners, but they're going to have to, you know, it's basically, you know, a psychiatrist or psychologist they're going to have to work with. And that could be great, you know, if that's what, you know, someone's wanting. But the way I see it is, you know, if we could kind of make this sort of brain training, you know, readily accessible to people all over the country, you know, we can really produce, I think, massive shifts in just people's states of consciousness and really a collective consciousness. You know, if we're able to improve the biological functioning of people's brains on a really mass scale, I mean, think of just how many awesome societal changes, you know, could result. It'd certainly be a much better, kinder, safer place to live in with people's brains working better.
Absolutely, Toby. So what, because I know there are things we can do, nutrition focused, exercise focused, that the listener right now is like, oh my gosh, I really want to optimally fuel my brain, feed my brain. What are things we can do without having to go to a lab somewhere?
Sure. I think one of the biggest ones is incorporating lots of healthy fats into your diet. So fats have been long demonized, I think, by the medical establishment. You know, we've been told to eat, you know, tons of carbs and all this processed sugar that's come into the diet, but, and fats have really gotten a bad rap, and certain fats are definitely bad. You know, trans fats are banned, in most foods and do not do good things to the body, but the brain really does need healthy, good, saturated fat. So fat that you're getting from, you know, coconut oil, olive oil, butter, ghee, let's see,
grass-fed fatty acids, like in salmon.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another great type of fat. Yeah. And yeah, a lot of the brain is actually composed of fat. The myelin sheaths that insulate neurons that actually speed the signaling, the conduction between neurons are actually these fat composed membranes. So yeah, the more things that we can do, the more healthy fats that we incorporate into our diet, it really gives the brain kind of the raw building blocks that it needs to perform optimally. Another thing about fat is it's the building block for cholesterol. Fat is the building block for cholesterol, and cholesterol also gets a bad rap, but cholesterol is then the building block for all of our major hormones, you know, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, DHEA. All of these hormones are, you know, the first step in that process in the synthesis of all those hormones is cholesterol, and cholesterol is derived from fats. So all of these hormones are very, like, neuroactive. They're actually, changing your brain activity. So if you're not getting enough fat into your diet, you're also not providing your brain enough of those raw resources it needs to formulate the proper amount of hormones it needs.
Very interesting. So adding some healthy fats to our diet can help with our brain health. You mm-hmm. mentioned like HIIT workouts, high intensity interval training. You mentioned sprinting. You mentioned, I think, like dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate's a good one. Yeah, definitely trying to minimize the amount of milk, fat, and sugar that you have in there.
Sure.
As far as other things, let's see, you know, when it comes to supplements, definitely, you know, omega-3 fatty acids, you know, mm-hmm. taking a fish oil supplement is great. I'm a big fan of vitamin D.
I was thinking that too, the sun even.
The sun.
Vitamin D, something I would ask you about.
The sun we could really classify as a drug in yeah. terms of the such a diverse amount of biological effects that the sun produces. It really does equate to a drug in a lot of senses. So yeah, getting adequate vitamin D from the sun, and if not, which a lot of us aren't able to get sufficient amounts of vitamin D from the sun. So if you're not able to, definitely taking a vitamin D supplement. Also, magnesium is another really critical one for brain health. Really, a lot for people who struggle with like anxiety, panic attacks, irritability, insomnia. I just had a woman on my show talking about actually topical magnesium, which is something. Yeah, that's something that was actually pretty new to me. But yeah, basically, she uses topical magnesium as a moisturizer and puts it, you know, on her forehead, on her chest, you know, as she's starting to experience those anxiety symptoms or a panic attack is coming on, and it can drastically kind of reduce that and really break that cycle of stress.
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't heard of topical magnesium.
I hadn't really either. I may have heard about it once or twice, but yeah, there's a lot of different forms of magnesium that people can take in capsules. Also, like Epsom salt baths is another one where you can get magnesium from soaking in it. But yeah, there's also these topical moisturizers, creams, sprays. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. To switch gears a little bit, Toby, tell our listeners about your podcast, Roscoe's Wetsuit, in case, you know, they want to tune in and know more about what you're putting out there.
Sure. So honestly, I started the podcast a couple years ago as kind of a good excuse for me to talk to people who I'd otherwise have no business talking to.
Yeah,
you know,
for real.
Really, like I'm a neuroscience geek. So, you know, if I read some paper from a researcher at Stanford and I wanted to learn more, you know, I could try calling that person up and asking to talk to them. But, you know, I figured that by having podcast that I could then invite them onto it. It's sort of providing, you know, value to both me, to them, along with to, you know, whoever listens to it.
Yeah.
So that was really it. It was really born out of just my own curiosity to expand my knowledge of neuroscience, psychology, you know, neurophysiology, all of these different things. And I've had an awesome time growing the show. It's about to hit 150 episodes.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, it's certainly, you know, is something that I feel like is a great resource for people who want to know, who, you know, even people who are not involved in neuroscience or psychology, but people who care about the health of their brains, who care about wellness. You know, there's people, they have nutritionists come on the show. There's, you know, everything from hypnotherapists, dietitians, to more of the research community, but it's a very diverse show. I feel like that encompasses just everything to do with the brain, whether that be mindset or more of the biological side. So it's been really fun.
And if I remember correctly, the name Roscoe's Wetsuit, is that sourced from a book? Can you share with our listeners a story of that?
It's a screenplay. Yeah, it's a screenplay I read. So it's Roscoe's Wetsuit is It was a screenplay from this artist, Childish Gambino. Also, his real name is Donald Glover. He's an actor and musical artist, but he released an album called Because the Internet. And there's a screenplay that went along with the album. And in the screenplay, the main character comes across the words Roscoe's wetsuit kind of in different places. It's graffitied under a bridge or just, you know, he sees it kind of throughout the whole screenplay. And at the end, he comes across a kid who's writing Roscoe's wetsuit on a napkin. So he confronts the kid and is like, you know, okay, finally I'm going to find out, you know, what this means. And so he asks the kid, you know, what is Roscoe's wetsuit? And the kid's reply is, I don't know. I just saw it online. So Roscoe's wetsuit means nothing, but it's a metaphor in the sense it kind of means everything in the sense it's, you know, I feel like really sort of in a way kind of playing on just the whole how, you know, we all kind of just go with whatever is trending and follow the crowd and not really think for ourselves, just in terms of society. So I kind of wanted to do something different than that with my show. So I thought that was kind of a cool way to use a little bit of irony and metaphor from that screenplay.
You know, I think that's interesting, Toby, and such a good story. It reminds me of this morning, I read an article about a museum in England that commissioned an artist something like $83,000 to replicate a sculpture. And the artist gave the museum two blank canvases. And the museum wants to sue him. And he titled the work something about take the labor and run. And it's like a metaphor for people not, companies, corporations not paying enough for labor and services. And so the museum actually hung the pieces and is still intending to get the money from the artist who came out and said, I'm not returning the money. This is a statement, kind of like Roscoe's wetsuit isn't anything, you know, kind of like this whole notion, which I think is so creative. Talk about tapping into the brain and really approaching things from a back door in a different way. I think your title is creative and the story as well kind of blew my mind how the artist really stepped out to do this and make a statement.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So back to the brain, you know, I'm thinking of neurofeedback, the term you've used, and I've heard it a lot as a therapist. What is neurofeedback exactly?
Yes. So neurofeedback basically is you're basically playing a video game with your brain. So how this looks is someone has an EEG cap on, the same cap that we were talking about at first, mm-hmm. you know, that is recording what the brain is doing. But with neurofeedback, we're actually training the electrical rhythms of the brain. So depending on the specific condition, the specific, you know, sort of thing that we're working on, you know, the protocol might be different based on whatever the person is hoping to achieve. So if, say, we do a brain map and we see a lot of deficiencies, say, in beta activity, say we have someone who's very inattentive, they struggle with focusing, oftentimes that would show up in a brain map as a lot of deficiencies in beta waves. So with neurofeedback, we could actually train a person's brain to increase its production of those beta waves by giving them a reward whenever beta is produced. So for instance, they'd be, you know, watching a screen, and as the screen gets larger, or if it's audio, as the tones get louder, that indicates the brain, that the person's brain is producing those good beta brain waves. Okay. Now, if the screen gets smaller, or if the tones get quieter, that's the negative feedback telling the brain, you know, nope, you're not doing it right. You know, go back to what you were doing before to make the tones louder or to get the screen bigger. So it's providing real-time feedback to tell the brain when it's doing a good job and when it needs to kind of self-correct.
Interesting. How often is ideal for someone to participate in neurofeedback sessions?
So a lot of practitioners do, you know, once or twice a week sessions for, you know, sometimes 20 sessions, 30 sessions, even up to 40 or 60 sessions, depending on what conditions specifically. So, the thing about neurofeedback, it is very effective, but it can, it definitely is very, I think, demanding, both in terms of, people's time and money, to really do enough sessions to see real significant changes. And that's why I actually am a bigger fan of neurostimulation.
Okay, what is that?
It packs more of a punch. So neurostimulation is basically, it's more just directly taking the brain to whatever is being stimulated. So how this would look is there's somewhere between 2 to 6 electrodes that are being placed at different areas along the scalp. And it's also done based on what we saw in that original brain map. So what we're seeing, how we're seeing, the brain look, what areas, what brain waves need to be increased, decreased. That's kind of the protocol is dependent on that. But once we set someone up, we basically just start them on the computer, and they're getting kind of a very low intensity electrical current. It's not painful. It's not the shock therapy that people often think of when I say neurostimulation. People think of the 1950s electroconvulsive therapy. This is much, much lower dosage. So with that, it's using upwards of like 800 milliamps is the measure of electricity. Whereas with this low intensity neurostimulation, we're usually using somewhere between, 1 to 2.5 milliamps. So a lot lower intensity. It's basically gently guiding the brain into whatever different state that we're in training it to be in. So it's, whatever we see on the brain map that needs to be adjusted, whatever sort of dysregulation that we're seeing, we can really quickly work on correcting with neurostimulation. And oftentimes after, as few as 5 to 10 sessions, people are seeing, or we're starting to see real significant changes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, on a brain map. Even from the first session people often report that they're sleeping a lot better, their anxiety's decreased a lot. It's very noticeable. So it's a great technology that, a lot of people have never, even seen before, let alone ever had access to. So I'm excited to be introducing that to a lot of people.
I'm so excited with what you're doing with your applied neuroscience company, Toby. What do you want to leave listeners with in our kind of concluding time together?
I would say you're not stuck with the brain that you have. So, if you're experiencing problems in any area of your life, whether that's, your energy levels, your interpersonal relationships, your work, whatever it is, if you're not happy with your life, it really often is, that if anything that we can have any sort of control or influence over, is related to the brain. So if we can improve the functioning of the brain, we can change basically everything that has a solution to it. So I think that's a real important thing for people to always keep in mind. No matter what they're going through, no matter how bad, they are unsatisfied with their life they feel today, there's always hope that things can be better, because the brain is plastic. It's constantly changing and adapting. Yes. And so if we just give it the right inputs, give it the right stimulus, feed it the right foods, give it the right exercise and, and sleep, all of those things are really essential in really helping people to have the best brain health, and therefore the best lives really that they can live.
I'm hearing that our brain is a muscle, much like our physical muscles, that we have so much ability to enhance and take care of.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that analogy really works pretty well. And one that I use in terms of talking about the work that I do is, essentially exercise for the brain. These different technologies, neurofeedback, neurostimulation, we're basically taking your brain to the gym. And I think that people understand the importance of, taking care, taking their body to the gym, And I might be a little biased because I'm in the field, but I truly do think within the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to start really seeing the explosion of this sort of stuff in the health and wellness sphere. Cause I really think that brain health is really the next frontier of well-being that, you know, hasn't really been tapped into.
And I also want listeners to know your website, which is roscoeswetsuitneuro.com.
Yes. Yes. And actually I created a special landing page. So if people go to roscoeswetsuitneuro.com/NOLA, they can get a 15% off discount on their first neurohealth coaching session if they're interested, which is a service that I offer, basically helping people to, you know, implement these different changes in their diet, exercise, sleep hygiene, supplementation, and basically, you know, walking them through the process of, you know, incorporating all of those changes. So if people go to that link, then they can get a 15% off discount code.
Thank you. And that's NOLA, like N-O-L-A, New Orleans, Los Angeles.
Correct? Yes, correct.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Toby. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you taking your time today to share with us this information and make it more user-friendly than what it has been before.
Of course. I think it's you know, that translation of the neuroscience and psychology into practical things that people can actually apply and understand is so critical because there's so much great research that's going on, but oftentimes those researchers aren't too apt at communicating that science to the public. So that's sort of what, you know, the role I see myself in with both my business and the podcast, kind of in that translational neuroscience.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Likewise, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome, Toby. Bye. That concludes our show today with Toby Passman. Go to roscoeswetsuitneuro.com/NOLA for 15% off him to help you learn what can enhance and tune your brain. So important. I hope you have a really wonderful weekend, and I will be with you next week. Mwah. Bye.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.